Everyone, welcome to a new episode of the ESICM Next Educational Podcast. My name is Laura Galarza. I'm an intensivist working in Castellón General Hospital in Spain, and I'm also the chair of the ESICM Next Committee. Joining me today, an international expert in her field, Dr. Rita Bertuetti. She works as consultant intensivist in neurocritical care unit at Spedale Sibilia Brescia Hospital in Italy, and she's an expert in the use of brain ultrasound. Her main research focuses on neuromonitoring and also brain ultrasound. Welcome, Rita, to the program.
Thank you, Laura. Thanks for inviting me. It's a pleasure and an honor. Thank you.
It's our pleasure that you are here today. So we are going to discuss today one of the most controversial topics about basic training in ultrasound for every intensivist: brain ultrasound. It was included in the last ESICM consensus as a basic part, but not everyone is convinced that it should be there. So let's start with the basics. What really is brain ultrasound, Rita?
So, we can consider brain ultrasound as a stethoscope for the brain. So it's like a window on the brain of our patients. So from a window, we cannot see everything, but we can see something, and it's better than nothing. and this is basically, it's a philosophical, you know, explanation, but I think it makes the point. So there are some limitations of the technique, and we should be aware of this, but this does not mean that it's not useful, okay? I know that it's a little bit harder to learn, when we compare it to like echo or lung ultrasound, also because maybe you know, the brain is just for neurointensivists. Some people can think like this, okay, but it is not. I think actually that brain ultrasound can find its main application in patients where you know, invasive neuromonitor is not available or not even indicated, okay? So this is mostly my thinking.
Thanks. And which are the main structures we can see with brain ultrasound? Because you told me we can't see everything, but what's our focus when we take a look with the ultrasound?
So we need to, first of all, we need to consider that in order to insonate the brain, we need to have windows, you know, insonating windows. So since the skull is the main obstacle to the propagation of ultrasound, there are specific points of the skull where where ultrasound can actually reach the brain parenchyma. So we have mainly four windows in the adult. Of course, in children it's much easier because the bone is thinner, so we can have better pictures. For example, in neonates, in newborn, it's like an MRI, for example. It's totally different examination. But in adults, we use four windows, the transtemporal windows, which is the most useful, mainly in ICU patients because they lie in the bed. We have an occipital window, so we use the occipital foramen as a natural window for reaching the brain. Then we have the orbital window, and then the submandibular window. So the most useful, I think, for general intensivists is the transtemporal window. We need to keep in mind that there are some patients in which it's not possible to have any image because the bone is too thick. Or mainly because the bone is too thick, so actually ultrasound are not able to reach the parenchyma. Okay, from the transtemporal window, we can assess some anatomical structure like the third ventricle, the midbrain, the lateral ventricles, the thalamus, and we can also assess some pathological pattern, like if there is a bleeding, like a subdural hematoma, we may be able to appreciate the hematoma in the contralateral part. And then we can assess vessels. So the MCA, the mid cerebral artery, the anterior cerebral artery, and the posterior cerebral artery. This is basically the basic pattern that we can that we are able to see. Of course, by assessing the third ventricle, we might be able to measure the shift of the midline, okay, from one side to the other side. We take two measures and calculate the difference. Okay, this is very useful, but we also need to be precise in the measurement because each difference in the inclination of the probe might be, misguiding, misleading. Okay, while it so also the third ventricle measurement could be useful for the assessment of hydrocephalus. So the enlargement of the diameter of the third ventricle is a sign of hydrocephalus. While the intonation of the vessels, when we intonate the vessels, we use the Doppler modality, of course, the pulse Doppler. So we have the measure of the velocities. And the velocities in the MCA especially is a surrogate of the CBF, of the cerebral blood flow. Okay, is a surrogate because we measure the velocity and not the CBF. So we need to be sure the diameter of the vessel we are intonating is kept constant. Okay. And by measuring the velocities and the change, the relative changes between the diastolic velocity and the peak systolic velocity and the mean velocity, we can extrapolate some information about the cerebral perfusion pressure of our patient and also of the ICP. Okay. Okay, so this is basic pattern. And then we have the optic nerve sheath diameter, which is a slightly different technique, and it is used for the assessment of intracranial pressure. Okay, so this is the basic
Yeah, thanks. So I like what you say about it's a technique for every intensive, is not only for people who work in neurocritical care units, because I think that's one of the main reasons people don't like it that much, because they think it's not useful in their units. So in which cases do you think it's really useful in the in a general ICU in non-neurocritical care patients?
Well, first of all, I know that among Europe, not in each institution there is a neurocritical care unit. So very often we have neuro patients in general ICUs, and so the general intensivists should be trained at managing those kind of patients. So having said this, I think that brain ultrasound is useful in the emergency room, in the emergency department. For example, in trauma patient, in major trauma patient, I think that there are some situation where when the patient is intubated and maybe is shocked for hemorrhagic shock, and we know that we are not going to take the patient to scan straight away because he needs a laparotomy. So I think it's useful to have some information about the brain of our patient in that situation, at least. A glimpse to what's going on there. Okay, so I think this is a situation where general intensivist that are that is called in the emergency department to manage those kind of patient should could use brain ultrasound. And then in general ICU patients, there is some literature speaking about, and I think not just literature, but actually it could be used in a patient with acute liver failure and maybe undergoing liver transplantation, because we know that those patients have a problem with cerebral edema, and there is a specific counterindication for the placement of an ICP bolt in those patients because the risk of bleeding. So especially in those patients where we don't have any other instrument that can help us to assess the ICP of those patients, measuring the optic nerve sheath diameter can give us some information, okay, and also the flow in the MCA. It's not difficult. We just need a little bit of time to get confident with the technique. And then, well, it's not a general ICU patient, but also in cardiac patient. I think that in cardiac ICU patients, assessing the flow in the MCA can be very useful, especially in ECMO patients, in which they are at risk of bleeding, and also hypoperfusion of the brain should be implemented in those settings. But also, I don't know, patient in general ICU with endocarditis, I don't know, they can have cerebral complication, and also patients that are in prone position for ARDS ventilation. And sometimes, you know, they get elevated CO2, prone position is not very good for the brain. So maybe there are so many situations where it can be of some help.
Yeah, I think you have convinced almost all our audience that they should learn a little, at least the basics about the brain ultrasound.
Yes,
I mean, they don't need to be an advanced users, but at least know the basics to use it in all their patients. So I have one last question for you. So do you have any tips for our listeners that they are doing their first brain scans, what they can do? Which is the best position to put yourself when you are doing a brain ultrasound? It's in the head of the patient or in one side? Or should they do any changes in the ultrasound machine to change the preset or change some things there to have the image really, really good image?
First thing, be patient, because at the beginning it's not so easy. And yes, you should place yourself behind the head of the patient. I think when you start, when you begin, it's easier like that. You should have a specific setting on your machine for brain ultrasound, okay, and not try with the cardiac setting, because you won't get anything with that. So if you insonate the brain, you use the cardiac probe, but with the brain ultrasound setting, okay? And small changes make a lot of difference. So my suggestion is to hold your wrist on something firm, okay, and just move your fingers, so that small movements are best controlled like that, okay? And my suggestion is to start with, of course, the transtemporal window, because it's in the basic skills that you should start over. And the first thing that you should be able to appreciate is the midbrain. So midbrain is the first structure that you encounter, and around the midbrain usually you find your vessels. Okay, so find the midbrain and then put the collar on, and then you should be able to visualize in the collar mode the vessels, okay? And then you can use the pulsated Doppler for assessing the velocities, okay? So for TCCD, this is the basics. For optic nerve sheath diameter, you use the linear probe. Okay, linear probe, so high frequency probe. And in this case, the setting for like superficial tissues should be okay. Important thing is to reduce the mechanical power to 30%, because there is a risk of retinal damage. Okay, so you should lower the mechanical index of your machine. And insonating the optic nerve sheath is easier compared to the TCCD, because you don't have many obstacles and the anatomy is quite easy. So you should be able to assess the sheath of the nerve quite easily and take the measure in the axial plane and the longitudinal plane, okay? So the machine that we have nowadays are much more, you know, like, what do you say? They have a much better resolution with respect to the older one. So you are actually able to see the nerve and the sheath just outside the nerve. For example, if you start with with your training, I think that after 20, 30 insonation of the ONSD, you should be able to get a good measurement. It's a little bit harder for MCA insonation. I think it takes a little bit more, at least 50 examination to start, you know, being, you know, quite confident on what you see.
Yeah, I agree with you, Rita. I mean, it takes some time to learn it. It's the learning curve. It's longer than other ultrasound modalities, but I think it's worth the time when you can see a lot of things in your patients. So thank you so much, Rita, for being here today. It was our pleasure having you here talking about brain ultrasound.
Thank you, Laura. It's my pleasure.
Yeah, thanks. And thanks all of you for listening, and check back regularly for more educational podcasts with ESICM Next.